Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministry.
Praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. This is the Prospering Souls broadcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome all those that are calling in, those that are logging in, and those that will listen to the broadcast later, and those that are joining us here live on Facebook. We thank God for each and every one of you. We are so glad just to be on the be able to do what the Lord is calling us to do. I'm running a little bit behind. I was at the hospital praying for somebody and visiting somebody, so I got back here. I just got in here. But anyway, I thank the Lord. Our speaker is on the line. God bless her. Elder Timberlake, we're so thankful for just the word. We are still talking about humility. And I'm telling you, we ever don't need humility, we need humility today. It is so important to God, and we want to be found doing his will as he would have us to do it, as an act of humility, ready to do the will of the Lord, ready to forgive, ready to be used by God. And if we're going to be doing that, we have to do it humbly. So we're so thankful today for all he's doing. We're going to start with a word of prayer, and then we're going right on into our teaching with Elder Rita Timberlake. She is our teacher. And we're so thankful for her because she's been teaching on this topic, and, I mean, she's been a blessing. This topic has blessed me. I'm so excited to hear about what's going to be said today. So we thank God for each and every one of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, we give you glory because your glory, you deserve our glory. You deserve our honor. You deserve our praise. We thank you for being the omnipotent God, the omnipresent God, the omniscient God. We thank you, Lord, for being sovereign, and we thank you for just being God. We thank you for being our creator, God. We thank you for being our strong tower and our righteousness, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that you are shepherd and we shall not want. You are light in our salvation. Oh God, we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all that dwell therein. We thank you for you sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and for the sins of this world. And then you raised him from the dead, oh God. Lord, that we might have a right to the tree of life. Lord, we thank you. To eternal life. Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much. We ask you, Lord, to bless this word and to bless this word to fall on good ground, God. Lord, that those that will hear it, oh God, will not only be hearers of your word, but doers also, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, that the word of God will reach those that need it, those that need to be saved, those that are newly saved, that this foundational teaching will be a blessing to them and also for us that are saved. Lord, that it will be a refresher for us, and Lord, that we'll learn something about you more today. So we're just thankful, God. Bless those who have lost loved ones, those that are in hospitals, Father, that need your healing virtue to flow through their bodies, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to let the doctors make wise decisions, oh God, yeah, on their behalf, God. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Let your anointing flow on this call today, oh God. Bless your Elder Timberlake, anoint her, oh God, with a yoke-destroying anointing, oh God, as the word comes forth. Lord, we thank you. We bless your holy name, and we praise your holy name because we know that we have the victory through you, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you, Assimilate.
Amen.
Thank you,
amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Elder McCullough. He said, humble yourself and he will exalt you. So we thank God for all of those being on the line. Pastor McCullough, forgive me for saying that, but Pastor McCullough, we thank God for you being on the line today. So, God, we thank you, Lord. Elder Timberlake, I'm putting it in your hands because I feel like running my mouth today, but I'm going to let you do it. Thank you, Lord.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Praise the Lord. Praise the
Lord.
We're going to talk about how we can build a better relationship with God through humility. And last week we talked about that in order to have a good relationship with God, we got to make sure we're maintaining a good relationship with our fellow man. And the symbolic of the cross shows us the relationship being horizontal as well as vertical. So we can't say we love God and we don't love our sisters and our brothers in Christ. So we're going to go to the Word of God first before we get started. Going to Romans, the 12th chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. And it says, be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much life in you, live peaceable with all men. We talked about in the past, we've talked about the Ten Commandments and how the first four commandments talks about our relationship with God. And then the rest of them talk about our relationship with mankind, with one another. So it lets us know that relationship with each other is very important to God. The word lets us know that how can we say we love God who we have not seen, but we say we love him, but we can't get along or love our sisters and brothers that we see all the time. And what we want to do is bring, we're not trying to bring any type of condemnation. What we want to do is bring enlightenment and revelation so all of us can search our own hearts and ask God to correct whatever wrong and let us make right choices as we walk this Christian walk. Because when we look at the signs of the times today, saints of God, we have got to realize that the world is forever changing. Things that used to be, what used to be right is wrong, and what was wrong is right. Everything is topsy-turvy if you just look at what's going on in the world. But thanks be to God that we have a roadmap in the Word of God, in the Scriptures called the Bible, that if we would go to it for guidance, and if we would spend time and meditate on the Word, read it, and spend time with God, quality time with God, we would be able to not be moved by the things that we see going on in the world, that we can love our brothers and sisters even when we disagree and maintain the standard of holiness as they have already been established. I have always said that we are walking in history, and in history, this is God's story that we are walking out, because he's already settled everything. Everything has been settled in heaven, and now we're just walking it out, and we're seeing the manifestation of his word and his promise. Well, talking about interpersonal relationship, well, let's talk about what is an interpersonal relationship. We said last week that it is a strong, deep, or a close association or acquaintance between two or more people that may range in duration from a brief to enduring. So that means that there's some type of communication going on between more than one human being. It could be in your family. It could be on the job. It could be at church. It could be while you're shopping. It could be anywhere that you're intertwining with other people. And we know that everybody has their own background. We come from different environments, so when we come together, there's a possibility there might be some conflict, there might be some misunderstandings, but we've got to learn how to overcome that or to submit, because humility is taking the lower road. Because remember, Jesus has paid the ultimate sacrifice and shown us what humility is supposed to look like. And when he died on the cross, when he willingly, number one, decided to come off of his high throne and to die on the cross so that we could have a second chance, we being mankind, and we're just grateful to the Lord. That's why we serve him. That's why we love him, because he has paid the ultimate sacrifice. And when we talk about building relationship, with God and with each other, it's still about sacrifice. To have to live peaceable as much as possible with all men, there's going to be some sacrifices on both sides, some give and take coming from each other.
Yes.
We need to learn how to build and nurture relationships because they are the foundation of a strong, healthy connection that will stand the test of times. Genesis 18 and 17 says, the Lord says, shall I keep secret from Abraham, my friend and servant, what I am going to do? In other words, Abraham had a good relationship with God. And so what Abraham thought about was important to God. Now, that's some kind of relationship. When you've made that commitment, and he made that commitment because he was obedient to God. He trusted him. And that's the word God has given me for this week. While we're talking about interpersonal relationships, it's all about trust. We build our relationships with one another because we learn how to trust each other. And because Abraham kept the promises that God kept his promise to Abraham, and there was a relationship built. And so it was important to God that Abraham's needs be met, or that Abraham would even be considered. Now, that's some type of relationship. And we all need to seek God to be able to have such a connection with God as Abraham did. Our earthly relationships are important to the Lord. There is a reciprocal relationship between loving God and loving people. An attitude of humility is the key to dealing with other people in a biblical way. Humility is the opposite of being aggressive, being arrogant, being boastful, and exaggerated pride. Humility is the quality that let us go more than halfway to meet the needs of others, and it is essential to humans to live in peace and harmony. Acting with humility does not deny your own self-worth. Instead, it affirms the distinctive worth of others. Oftentimes, there's a myth that if you have to be a servant to someone else, or if you have to be obedient to someone else, or you take the lower road for peace sake, that it is the appearance that you'll be looked at as being weak or that you've been used. But if Jesus had taken that attitude, where would you and I be today? So what we're saying is we want to have the attitude of a servant, that we would surrender, whatever, take the low road, being considerate of other people's needs, not always being arrogant or being concerned about, am I being satisfied? Are they taking care of me and who I am? This is the way you should respond to me because of my position. But we all are servants in the household of faith. We all are servants.
Yes.
Whatever position we have that God has blessed us to have or to accomplish in this life, we still are a servant. We are serving unto the Lord. And we are our brothers and sisters' keepers. So that means that we need to make sure, whenever possible, if it means taking the low road to have peace, let's take that course of action.
Yes.
In order for any relationship to grow, whether it is spiritual, physical, or emotional, there must be trust. The Bible lets us know, it tells us to trust in the Lord and rely confidently on the Lord with all our hearts, and do not rely on our own insight or understanding. That's in Proverbs 3 and 5. That's the Amplified Version. Because we have the tendency to feel like we're always right, you know, because God is always talking to me and I'm doing all this praying. I got the connection. So if it's coming out of my mouth, it is always right. But sometimes we have to be careful because the enemy will sneak in, even though we got gifts and talents that God has blessed us with, he'll sneak in and try to trick us with these gifts and while we start operating in the flesh instead of the spirit.
Yeah.
And then we begin to believe the hype that we hear and think it's us instead of giving credit unto the Lord. And so we want to always make sure whatever talents and gifts God has blessed us with, that we're trusted in him and we're being led by the Spirit, and we know from whence the authority of such giftings have come. And we give credit to whom credit is due. We realize we're just an earthly vessel, humbly submitted to God so he can use us for his service. Learning to trust God paves the way for us to be vulnerable to trust others. Because if you don't trust God, you're not going to trust one another. Because if you're skeptical of God, you're going to have some little skepticism with your brothers and sisters. It could be in your marriage. It could be your boo. It could be on the job. It's just you don't feel comfortable with anybody. You don't trust anybody. But once you learn to trust God and put your confidence totally in him and let him lead and direct you, you will allow him to orchestrate your steps so you will know who to trust and who not to trust. Because without trust, relationships, they crumble. If we don't trust God, if we don't believe in God, there is no real connection between us and God. We might be praying to him or saying words to him, but he knows our hearts. He knows our heart. So when it comes to dealing with God, we need to be truthful. When it comes to dealing with each other, we need to be truthful and work together, whatever the situation is, so we can work it out should there become some kind of uneasiness along the way. We must remember that in Him, it is in Him that we live, move, and have our beings. Everything that we have comes from God. Every gift we got, He gave it to us. Every position we're holding, He made the way. He gave it to us. So whatever He's given us, if we've been able to move up in positions on the job, in the church, or in the community, in the nation, whatever it is, that we've been blessed to be put in certain positions and on different platforms, we must always remember from whence our help has come. And if we always put God first, then our relation with Him will just grow and grow. And as our relationship with God grows, our relationship with mankind will also do the same. Does anybody have anything they would like to come in at this time?
No, it's good.
Okay. Often when dealing with others, we find that our thinking and the way we believe impacts how we interact with others. If we are not willing to compromise, not our principles, but for peace and harmony, we will find ourselves expressing aggressive style-like behavior when dealing with others, whether we're in the church, at work, or with our families, or any place. So when you see that your temper is arising in situations often because maybe you're not getting your way or people not agreeing with you, you need to check yourself. You should be close enough to God that the Spirit will begin to bring a conviction, because sometimes you can be right. But if you're saying things at the wrong time, at the wrong place, in the wrong way, it is still wrong. So your principle might be right, but if you're not doing it right and you're going to cause someone else to stumble or say it's going to cause more confusion, it's still not right. Your application is not right. So we've got to put it all in line up with the Word. So it is very important. The Bible says all things lawful, but not always expedient. That means sometimes you might have something that you want to say, but it might not be the time to say it. So you need to seek the Lord for wisdom on when to speak and when to be quiet, when to hold your peace and when to pursue or to say what needs to be said. Because remember, we are seeking peace and we're going to pursue it, and as much as possible, we're trying to live in harmony with one another, being subjected to the will of God that He might get glory out of whatever situation we're in at that particular moment. It is all too easy for us to react to life's annoyances and disappointments with anger. It is far more challenging, but much better to react with understanding and empathy. In this way, we can quickly settle disputes and avoid turning minor incidents into major battles. As I just said, that goes along with sometimes you might have whatever you say might be right, but it might not be the right time because the person you need to say it to might not be in the right frame of mind to receive it. And that unless God has given you the unction, the Holy Spirit has unctioned you to utter those words to the individual, then you need to wait till there's a more peaceable time when their spirits are settled, when they have an ear to hear, so what you have to say can be effective. So timing is critical. It is just as critical or having the right thing to say. So we need to keep that, be mindful of that. James 1:19-20 says, "You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness." So whenever we're interacting with one another, remember, we're always representing God. We don't get a chance to be off representing God. Even when we're having fun and enjoying one another, we are still God's vessels. And we still need to be representing Him. We're not saying you got to be holier than thou and you can't have fun. Yes, we can have fun. But we have to be moderate in everything because we are a walking, living epistle, and we don't know who's watching us. So we need to always represent God in whatever we do, in our deeds and in our words. Wherever we are representing Him.
Yeah.
And so when things don't go the way we like, because, we got a tendency like to judge one another, And we need to ask God to help us with that, because we have to be careful of having a critical spirit. Because sometimes, often, when we
yes.
have a critical spirit, we have to be careful that sometimes we're operating in the spirit of pride. And so we have to
yes.
be careful to ensure that we're operating out of love. Always make sure when we're
yes.
trying to correct someone or dealing with someone that we're not doing it out of trying to think, I got the answer, and this is what you ought to do. But I'm coming to you in love because I care. You're important to me. Because you're important to God,
mm-hmm.
but you're important to me. So we don't want to be using the blame game that want to have anger and hold resentment against our brothers or our sisters. Because, listen, no one makes us angry. Anger is our own emotional response to some actions or events. More often than
mm-hmm.
not, our angry feelings are based on misrepresentation of what someone said or did, or not our own exaggerated or our own exaggerated sense of pride. That's why in all that getting, get an understanding. If you don't understand what a brother has said, whether it's in church, whether it's your husband, wife, whether it's your children, who are on the job, your boss, or your coworker, your peers, whatever it is, make sure you get a clear understanding before you begin to say some things that you may resent later. That's what we have to work on, controlling our emotions. Remember, we've been talking about dealing with humility. We talked about previously with renewing of your mind. If we're working on renewing our mind, that's a process, and it should be done daily. And as we do that, that will keep us on the right track, but we won't be so easily to succumb to these emotions, that we can make our emotions be lined up, become more disciplined on how we respond and not react to situations that we are indifferent with or very uncomfortable. Because angry words, all they do in our action, it escalates hostility, and it blocks communication rather than solve them. Whether between our parents, our children, our spouses, our siblings, friends, expressions of anger divides us and drives us towards just open hostility, a bunch of confusion where there's no peace and rage. But whether we're dealing with coworkers, strangers, or even our enemies, the Bible advice is still spiritually sound and effective for promoting peace and harmony. We're supposed to love our enemies. We still got to pray for them, even our enemies. So you know we have to learn how to get along with our siblings, our spouses, the people that's in our inner circles, because he tells us to love our enemies. So we've got to pray for them. So we need to love everybody, everyone that we come in contact with. So the Bible is very specific and has a lot to say about having a relationship with one another. Tell us what not to do. Tell us to respect everybody's space. We're supposed to have boundaries when dealing with people. And if we're in the body of Christ, if we haven't learned that, we need to take extra effort and take steps to get ourselves under subjection so we can be lined up with the Word. Because the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit gives us boundaries. He tells us, he leads us. He tells you, don't say anything right now, but he will not force you. Because you can override by your own will and your own choices and make your own decisions to cause confusion. That's what oftentimes we do. And then when we do that, then we want to go pray and ask God to fix the mess. But had we listened to God in the first place, there would not be a mess. There would be some peace. So we've got to learn to get our spirit man under control and stop operating in the carnality or in the soulish nature and begin to respond more in our spirit man. Let the spirit man lead. He can always tell who's in control when we're moving, because it's a constant battle all the time. And you can tell how we respond to situations. Is our spirit man leading us? Is our soulish man in control? Because when we have a lot of confusion and we have a lot of resentment and bitterness and judgmental, then that's operating in our soulish nature. And that's the key. When we sense or feel ourselves responding in such a way, we need to revert quickly to the Lord and ask him to forgive us, repent, and turn it around and ask God for health and strength and start walking in a different path where we can see some growth, where we start beginning to grow to see how we respond differently and we see our emotions lining up, becoming when we normally, with something normally would make us upset when we heard it, but then we have some peace. And sometimes you don't realize it when it happens. When you start surrendering to the Lord, sometimes you don't realize it until you're faced with that situation again. Then all of a sudden, you realize, you got to check, wait a minute, Lord. If that had happened a few weeks ago, I might have said this. But this time I didn't say a word. I held my peace. I didn't get stressed out. I didn't get anxious about it. I felt some peace about it. And all you can do when you realize that, tell God, thank you. Because that's an evidence that you are growing in the spirit. And then as God says you can grow, the more you grow with that, then he allows us to have other opportunities for to represent the kingdom. Does anyone have anything to say right now?
Well, I tell you, you know, I'm a witness to that. Because there's a lot of times I want to respond to stuff, but the Lord be telling me, don't you say a word. Just be quiet. Well, he be saying, shut up. He said, don't you say nothing. Don't respond. Don't say nothing. And that's something I've been learning over my lifetime. I wasn't always a winner at it, but God's gotten better at it. And I remember I used to get evaluations at work sometimes, and I would look at them, and I would be so upset about them. But the Lord would tell me, don't respond. Don't you say nothing. You just I would take a couple of days or so to get myself together, and then I would respond so that I wouldn't be out of order. When I did respond, I could respond peaceably. I remember telling the boss one time, I said, well, you know, I fussed all the way here so that when I got to work, I wouldn't say the wrong thing. So sometimes it takes humility to be able to do that. And so you got to humble, we have to stay humble so that the Lord can bless us, because sometimes if we act in our emotions, we will cause ourselves a problem, and we may or even on your job, it could cause you to get fired. It could cause you, I tell even the kids sometimes, I say, you can't respond to everything. First of all, that didn't have nothing to do with you, so why were you responding to something that was not your battle? Everything is not our battle, and we have to understand that. And that takes humility to understand that I got to just be quiet. Study to be quiet. That wins a whole lot of battles in your life, quietness. That's all I got to say.
Amen. Amen. Study to be quiet. Amen. Yeah. Because sometimes when it shows discipline, especially in the workplace, I mean, people watching you all day long. They watching you. They're watching how you respond. Especially those of you that have gone to work and you told them you're a Christian or you belong to this church and you do this or you're a minister, whatever you've told them. Now they're watching you to see how you respond, to see if you act the way they do, you respond the way they do, or is there something different? Because when they see something different in you, they respond to you differently. Some of them will test you, but over time you'll be able to see it. They'll let you know how much they respect you. It is a difference. If you show the difference to them, it'll pay off. It has great dividends. And it's not about you. So when they do it, it's not about you, but it's the God in you that's representing that they see. And that's a blessing because it gives God glory. And that's what we're doing. Whatever we do, if we remember that, before we open our mouths to say something that is not good, remember, is it edifying Christ? We should always ask ourselves, will he get any glory out of it? If not, then should you say it? So we tell that to our children when they're growing up. They need to think before they speak. The same thing applies to those of us that are adults but still growing in Christ. We're still growing in Christ. We're ever learning. Amen. You had something to say, Elder Bryce?
Yeah, I was telling someone, because because you've been one of the ones that's been praying for me throughout this process of the things I've been going through. But I was tickled. I was telling a friend of mine, I was giving her testimonies about some of the things that God has been turning around in my life. But the one thing I said to her, and I said this to you too, and I told her, I said, well, you know, when I was talking to the mortgage company and the lady was real sarcastic and a little nasty with me, I didn't raise my voice. I didn't say nothing out of the way. I kept my cool, and I just said, and when she told me, she said, well, and she was asking me, did I have, because I told the saints the other day, I said, you know, I said, I hadn't paid a bill since January 2018, but the Lord has been keeping me, because it's not that I just didn't pay the bill, I didn't have the money to pay it. I wasn't making the money to pay it. And so, but the Lord has kept me here. And so I was calling her to see if I could get a modification. That's what I was calling to see. And she said, no, you can't get no modification. And she went on. And I said, no, I haven't had. And she went on to tell me what all I had, did have. And I just shut up. And I said, no, I'm not going to respond. I said, well, okay. And so at the end of the thing, she said, well, you owe about, I actually think when I got the bill, it's over $20,000 that I owe to bring it up right. Right. And so she said, well, do you have that money to do that with? And I said, well, let me see what can be done. And that's what I said. And she said, well, what you want me to do? I said, well, I'll call you back. Let's see. I'm gonna see what can be done. And I'm telling you, I was so proud of my response. And I wasn't having pride, but I was so thankful. Let me say it a different way. I was so thankful for my response, because usually I would have got off the phone, then I would have started talking about, well, Lord, I don't know why you. And Lord, I didn't do none of the above. I started telling the Lord. I said, Lord, whatever way you do this, I'm gonna be blessed. I said, because first of all, you blessed me to stay there, and I didn't have the money to pay. I said, and Lord, and people kept telling me I need to go, give it up. I said, but Lord, you hadn't given me no provision to even do that. I said, so I didn't have no choice. I felt like I was at a Red Sea experience, waiting on the waters to be parted, so that I could move across. But I tell you, I kept my peace, and I just talked to the Lord. I told the Lord, whatever way you bless me, I'm winning. Whatever you do for me, Lord, I'm winning. I'm not going to worry about it, but Lord, I'm giving it over to you, because you know what my request is. And I remember you asked me, well, what are you praying for? And so I made my request unto the Lord. And then all that started happening. I didn't get overwhelmed by it. I just kept my peace, and I just talked to the Lord, told him, whatever way you bless me, Lord, I'm going to be all right, because I'm winning either way. And the next day, when I say God answers the next day, God answers the next day. And the money is coming to provide what I need to catch it up. That's how quick. And I was telling another friend of mine, she had been praying for me. And when I told her that very testimony was, she dropped the phone and started dancing and shouting. She said, because God had told her that it was my response to things that was holding up the blessing. But when I turned that thing around and began to respond with humility, God turned it around. I mean, she danced away. I was almost over in Fort Worth once she got herself together. And I live in DeSoto, and that's about a 49-mile difference. I'm telling you, she danced a while about that, shouted a while. But she said, God told me I couldn't tell you what to do. She said, but God did it for you. And I tell you, that's all I got to say. I'm going to say, but it's humility. We got to learn how to humble ourselves in these situations and stop responding in our flesh. Go ahead, Elder. I'm done.
Amen. Beautiful testimony. Amen. Because while you were talking, I always remember my three Huber boys. I love their attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to trust God. You know, when we're going through,
yeah,
we got to remember. And we're still learning. I'm still learning, but I'm better than I used to. Either God allowed,
yes,
or God ordained. Whatever issue, struggle, yes, we're going on, He either allowed it or He ordained it. And either,
yes,
way, it's going to work out for my good. Because all things work out for our good. All things.
Yes.
So we have to trust Him to believe. Which one it,
yes,
is, because we might not know which one it is. But we just trust her. I don't know how you're going to do it. That's why I love the three Hebrew boys. When he told them,
uh-huh,
you know, oh, King, you know, I know he might, you can put us in this fiery furnace.
Yeah.
He might not deliver us, but we believe he will. But he, and just in case he doesn't, he's still God. That's what God,
yeah,
wants us to get to. And I believe that's why that's in the Bible, for us to always have as a reflection, because it took trust and it took humility to be able to trust that, to be,
yes,
able to say, put me in a fiery furnace, if you will, because I'm not going to deny the God that I believe in. I trust Him that whatever,
yes,
it is, it's working for my good and it's for His glory. And so that's what, when we're going through whatever, we always have to remember, it's either God allow or God ordained. So that keeps us,
yes,
in a spirit of humility, that we won't start getting caught up in bitterness, because oftentimes when we're going through with that, we, you know, human would tell us, God, where are you? Yes, we all probably said it.
Yeah,
but don't let that,
yeah,
be your spirit, where it starts making you doubt God on a regular basis. All of us get,
yeah,
weak along the way and need some encouragement and need to be uplifted. That's why we need to have good interpersonal relationships, so we,
yeah,
can be with our brothers and sisters so we can bear the infirmities of the weak. So when you get low and I'm spiritual, I can encourage you, not me get low with you and make you more depressed than you already are. We're supposed to be building each other up because we are servants and we're helpers one to the another. And we have to encourage one another and do what we can to be a blessing, because that's what God has done for us on our individual lives. Because what I always remember, except for the grace of God, it could be me. So we don't have the attitude. We should not have the attitude to, when somebody else has a hiccup in their life, to think they, it's something they did, and it could have been something that they did. But you still love them through it because maybe they have to learn some things. Maybe they need to grow with something. And we need to love each other enough to be able to see that and encourage them to help them along the way. Because this is a, we have to walk this process out. We're walking this out as we go. And we're asking God for direction. We're asking God for help. But remember, we are in this human body. And when we have some human encounters, sometimes it throws us for a loop. And we can lose our balance for a moment. But that's why we need these relationships to help us to get back on balance, to get stable again. Sometimes it gets rocky, and then so we can tell each other, just hang on in there. And sometimes it sounds like that's not enough. But I believe when Paul then was on the ship, he told me if you just stay on the ship, when they thought the ship, when the ship did destroy, but they still held on to some pieces. Sometimes all you got is a memory, because if you say, if he did it for me then, he can do it for it now, for me now. And if it's not me now, it's my sister, my brother, I can tell you, this is what I know he did for me, so I'm going to believe in faith with you that he works your matter out too, because he's the same God, and he is no respecter person. We love him today because he got it, he set it up for us. And that's what real love does. It protects, shields, it covers, it honors. And that's what we're doing as we're building our relationship with God, as we help one another. We're building nuggets with the kingdom. It's for the kingdom's sake. It's not for our sake. It's still for the kingdom's sake. We're just grateful. Anybody have any testimony or something else they want to say right now?
All I know is that, you know, people don't mean any harm when they're talking to you sometimes, and they really don't. I said, but you got to learn how to push past that, because they don't, they're speaking out of what is real. You know what I'm saying? What reality would say, and they don't mean no harm. But the fact of the matter is, as a Christian, we got to understand they don't mean no harm and not charge nobody. The one thing God has always blessed me to be able to do is be quick to forgive. And I'm so thankful for that, because that, to me, if I forgive, then God can begin all the healing process that needs to take place. God can keep my mind in the right place. And so that's the one thing I will say the Lord blessed me with early on in life. And so when sometimes people say things to me, I would be like, I'd be sometimes wanting to respond out of my flesh, but the Lord would remind me, don't you say nothing. And then after that, I would be saying, they didn't mean that. They didn't mean it like that, Lord. That's just what the reality of it is, and that's what it looks like, and that's why probably what it could be. But you got to understand that you got to hold on to what God is saying and not charge it to people's mind or their heart, because that's not, you know what I'm saying? And so, now, some people are doing or saying stuff that ain't right, but everybody's not doing it. And so I just think it takes humility for us to know the difference and for us to be able to say, Lord, let me not respond to that person in that way. So I just think that's something that we got to consider as well.
Amen. It's because as we connect closer to God and build that relationship with God and have more intimacy with him, when somebody come to us with that way, even if their spirit is not right, we should be able to discern their spirit. Many times the enemy will use anybody. I mean, he used Job's wife to come to him. I mean, he'll use anybody to say something, say things out of their mouth that when you're vulnerable and you're more susceptible to maybe not responding in the way that you should. But if we spend close enough time with God on a consistent basis, when these things happen, I can't explain it, but there's such an inner strength that you can have. can hold you when somebody else would lose their mind and your world look like it's falling apart, but some kind of way you're holding yourself together and other people are amazed and confused and they can't understand how. But the only thing you can say is it's the grace of God and it's because of God.
It's the grace
because
of God.
He kept me. Because he kept me. Because when you've been keeping a good relationship with God and maintaining it and working on it and feeding it and reading his word and meditating on his word, he will keep you when all hell is breaking loose and everything around you is topsy-turvy. He will keep your mind in perfect peace. When the enemy is trying to steal your thoughts and steal your mind and tell you you got this and you got that or you get a bad report from the doctor, he will keep you because you've been keeping time with him, spending time with him, and loving on him and honoring him. He's faithful to his word because he's faithful that promise. And that comes with having that spirit of humility, acting as a servant and being obedient to his word and to his will and his purpose for your life. Now we want to talk about the types of interpersonal relationship that we deal with on a daily basis. We have personal relationships, which includes our families and where we work and different leadership positions in the church, on our jobs or whatever. But we want to look at the personal relationship with our families first and dealing with the components of the family, which is normally a husband, husband, wife, the children, and then you're acting as parents if you have children. And the scripture gives us words to help us, give us guidance, I should say, to help us on how to respond even in those components. At Ephesians 5:22-28 on marriage, it tells about God has ordained the institution of marriage and designed for us to live within families. So he's told the wives to submit yourself to your own husband as you do to the Lord. Whether he's a good husband, bad husband, mediocre husband, as you would submit yourself unto the Lord, let him not tell you to do something that's against God's word. You're supposed to submit yourself unto the Lord and trust God to help you with whatever you need to undergird to be able to endure.
Yeah.
And then it tells the husband, you are to love your wives as your own bodies, just as Christ has loved the church and gave himself up. So we have to be adjustable to change, have active communication, and learn how to be quiet, as we just said. When we come into a union with another person that's coming from different backgrounds, different families, different circumstances, different experiences, and when you come and have to live in the same place, there will oftentimes or sometimes might be some misunderstandings. And you have to learn how to work those out by communicating and by learning to understand the needs and the pressure points of one another. Son, if you're a believer, you should be spending time with the Lord by yourself. And then there should be some time where you're spending some time with the Lord with one another. So, and then just some quality time where you're just talking about life, to keep each other encouraged so you can learn each other's background and learn how to each one think so you can have peace and harmony in your home. Because when you are married, God has given you, he's given you some guidance, and it's symbolic of the church, the marriage like with God. This is symbolic of how it's supposed to operate. So if the husband is the head, that don't mean he's the beat up the wife. That don't mean he's being dogmatic. That means he's order. He's in the order of being the head in control and ensuring that there's security in the home, that all is well. And the wife is a helpmeet to support, to uplift, to encourage, to be the evangelist in the home, to help the needs of whatever is there, to help lift up their spouse. For we work in harmony and build that relationship with each other, as we're building our relationship with God, that would be the most peaceable home, and people you would be admired from afar by so many, and especially by God, because it's honoring him. Ephesians 5:23-33 tells us, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husband. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Love him enough that if it takes, you have to give up your life to protect your family, your spouse. That's what Jesus did for us. God was willing to give up his best for us, and he did. So you ought to be willing to give that sacrifice, because humility is nothing but sacrificial love.
Yes.
When you operate in humility, you're exemplifying sacrificial love.
Yes.
In the same way, 1 Peter lets us know it. The chapter says, your husbands must give honor to their wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. I'm telling you, God got it all connected. If we want to have a move of God, then we've got to align up with his word. If we want our prayers hindered, if we want to be stuck and not grow, then we'll walk out of order, out of line of the word. But if when you get serious about God and get committed to his word and to his will and to your walk with him, you will do whatever it takes, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Not that this wife you gave me like Adam. No. You would take the high road and be responsible and lead and be the head of that house. And let it be in order as God has ordained. If we wish to be loved, we must give love. If we wish to be respected, we must respect all persons, even those we dislike. If we wish to be forgiven, we must also forgive. If we wish others to speak kindly of us, we must speak kindly of them and avoid gossip. If we want happy marriages, we must be faithful, forgiving, and kind to our spouses. If we wish to be fulfilled in our lives, we must share generously with others. All this is an act of humility, putting others' concern above our own. Sometimes we have to take the low road and do something, go out of our way to do something else for somebody else. Bless somebody else along the way. Because as you bless somebody else, God will in turn remember your work and your stewardship and your faithfulness. He will exalt you. The word tells us to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And he will do the exalting. Not saying I've done this for this person, I keep helping these people, and look like nothing is coming back to me. Just keep on doing what you're doing with the right attitude, in the right spirit. God sees and knows your heart, and he sees you. And we have to remember, he has not forgotten our labor of love. In due season, he will exalt you. And that's what we want. We want to be working in the kingdom, helping each other, so God can exalt us, not trying to exalt ourselves. Let God exalt us. Because when God is trying to get your attention, and you choose to be your own God and stay on your own throne and have a hard head, he knows how to humble you. He can get your attention. He'll humble you yourself. But it's much easier, I beg of thee, to just make a decision to submit to God and let him lead you. Let him guide you. Because then when you're having issues, he already gave you a word. He said, cast all your cares on me. I've made provision for I care about you. Lay your burdens on me. I carry them. They're too heavy for you. He didn't build that for all these things that we carry. Even the husband's head of the house. Sometimes because society is saying, you know, men have more stress. They have more heart attacks and they die earlier. Because the burden that's on their shoulder, God didn't mean for the man, the husband, to carry all that by himself. He's supposed to have help from God in addition to the help from the spouse. But if he lean on God for these issues that are beyond his control and overwhelming, just trust God and learn how. I know it's not easy, but we have to learn how to release and relate to God. Release it, let it go, and give it to him fully, trusting that he will work it out and believing that it's already done, and you're waiting on the promise of the manifestation of the promise. Does anybody have anything to say?
No, we almost out of time. We got about five minutes. We almost there.
Oh, my goodness. We just had the marriage. Well, we wanted to
have a good time.
Well, next week we'll talk about parenting and children, and then we're getting ready to go in and talk about pride and the difference between pride and humility. Then we want to look at some of the people in the Bible that exemplified humility and some that were full of pride, and we see the consequences that follows pride, and we see the consequences as a positive that follow those that trusted God, that had an attitude of gratitude and operated in humility. We just thank God for his word today, and we hope somebody's been blessed, somebody's been encouraged, somebody's been enlightened, and somebody that felt like giving up or was in a relationship, wanted to quit, but maybe they want to take a second chance and just have a little talk with Jesus. Spend a little time with him. Tell him all about your troubles. He knows all about it, and he'll work it out if you trust him and allow him. In due season, if you don't faint, it'll work out for your good. Elder Bryce.
Amen. We thank God for Elder Timberlake and the word for the day. That on humility, and she just gave you a blueprint of what we're gonna be talking about over the next week or just a couple of weeks, because that's gonna take more than 1 week. Next couple of weeks or 3 weeks or so, or however long it takes. And you know, we don't stop talking about it until the Lord tells us to stop talking about a topic, because we want God to be glorified in everything we do. And we're so thankful for the discussion today and teaching us how in relationships to be humble. But I don't want to ever leave without offering an invitation to Christ. Somebody might be on the line. Maybe you didn't get an opportunity to give your life to the Lord, but this is another opportunity. And we just want to pray quickly. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you in your son's name. And, Lord, I believe that you raised him from the dead, that he died for my sins, and you raised him from the dead. Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins and deliver me and save me today. And, God, I'm asking you, Lord, that you will turn my life around and begin to bless me to live a life of salvation. And, Lord, that you would fill me with the Holy Ghost, and I will be able to be dedicated to you and serving you as only you can cause me to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe if you prayed that prayer, that you gave your life to the Lord today and that you are saved. And find you a good Bible-believing teaching church that will help you to continue on your journey with the Lord. That's what I believe. And we're so thankful for all of you that logged in, all of you that called in, and all of you that will listen to this broadcast later. We thank God for you, and we pray for you, and we ask God to bless you. I'm asking you all to join me on Thursday night for Single Talk, because we're going to do Single Talk on Thursday. We got a young man going to be on here, and he's going to talk about going through divorce and him and his spouse, his ex, being still friends with one another, no bitterness, all that. We're going to talk about all that kind of stuff and promote good single things. But anyway, let's pray, and then we're going to be out of here. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, today. Bless all of those under the sound of our voice. Lord, we ask you to bless Elder Timberlake, pour back into her what you allowed her to pour into us. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to carry her safely through this week. Bless her, Lord, as she had give her traveling mercies this week, Father. In the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus over her life right now, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for all the wonderful things that you will continue to bless her with and keep anointing her with the word of God to preach to us. God, we're asking you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will bless each and everyone under the sound of my voice. Bless them as they go through this week. Cover them on their jobs. Cover them on their journey to and from work. Bless their households. Keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. We thank you for those that gave their life to the Lord, God. And we ask you, Lord, that the word, we thank you that this word fell on good ground and that the people who are here heard it. And they will not only be hearers but doers of your word. They will have faith and work with it. They'll be willing and obedient, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Bless those husbands and wives, oh God. We thank you for the teaching that came forth on today about that in the name of Jesus. We call it done. Bless those who have lost loved ones, those in need encouragement, Lord Jesus. Bless those who are in line for promotions this week, need financial blessings this week. Lord, meet every need according to your riches and glory. We thank you in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you all for joining us today. We ask you that we thank you and join us back here next week. We'll be back here next week
on the Prospering Souls broadcast. And for all you singles, we'll be on Single Talk on Thursday at 8:30 p.m. talking about single stuff, encouraging you in the Lord. God bless each and every one of you is our prayer. Amen.
Good night.
Good night.